Today's daf in Masechet Bechorot is daf Membet, Rot Yeribengu Hechomot Yerushalayim. We're holding really on Membet Amud Aleph, but I think it's kedai for us to start from two dots on Mem Aleph Amud Beit, just to once again back into the sugya, just to fix a few lines. All right, so the question over here, the Mishnah was talking about what appeared to be both an androgynous and a tumtum. And it says over there that one of the cases that the Mishnah lists of something that cannot be brought on a Mizbeach, but is also not a mum to shecht on it b'medina, are two cases of tumtum v'androgynous. Came along Rav Chista yesterday, three lines up from the bottom of Amud Beit, to say, Omer Rav Chista, actually you should know that even though we have a machlokas in our Mishnah, where the Rabbanan at the end say, no, you don't have to worry, bichlal, a mash betumtum androgynous, or bichlal, not a bechor, you don't have to worry about it, that you can even do gizav avodah, forget about shechting. You can even work with it as if it's a behemas chulin. Says Rav Chista, you should know that that's only benogei and androgynous. But when it comes to a tumtum, there is no machloket. The Rabbanan Batroi didn't say that this is as if it's a different gender completely. A tumtum is a straight, remember that a tumtum has regular genitals, except that it also has a flap that covers the genitals. So, okay, so there where you don't know what it is, you don't know what it is, but it doesn't change its gender. It's a typical male or female. So you say, I don't know which one. Okay, fine, you don't know, so it's a suffix. Very good. And it's also not a mum, as the Chachamim said. So I'm a male, it's like any other suffix, but who would stand up and say, nah, don't worry about it, do Gizav Aveda. That's only the androgynous, they're saying. Since it's not neither a male nor female genitalia, it's as if it's a different sex completely. And therefore, it's Kaddish Misfeika. Omele Rava, so Rava said, if that's the case, then a tumtum should not be excluded from any dinim in the Torah. It's just that you don't know if it's Zohar Nekeva. In that case, if somebody gives the Erech, here of course we're talking about a human, there's no Erech of a behemoth, there's only Domim on a behemoth. But a human being is given what appears to be an arbitrary value based on age and sex. And according to what Rav Chista is saying, a male or female, tumtum, is a male or female, but we don't know which, so it would be a monetary problem. So, be'arachin ye'arech. Why does it say, be'ferish, in Masechet Arachin, alamatanya, that when the Torah says, v'haya erkecha ha-zachar, a ha-zachar means neither tumtum v'androgynous. What do you mean, neither tumtum? Androgynous you could say, but a tumtum, why would you say that it doesn't have an erech? No, san mimikan tumtum. That's okay. That's clearly, according to Rav Chista, this is a mistake. Very often, since we write tumtum androgynous together, we throw in tumtum androgynous as an error. But really, it's only talking about an androgynous. An androgynous, indeed, the Torah is telling you, is viewed as a different birya. Okay, how about this? Tashma. Yochol lo yehi be'erech ish, avo yehi be'erech isha. By the way, there's some who take out this whole line from san mimikan tumtum tashma. Why? Because it's all one bride. I mean, let's just finish it. You might think, and as it goes on to say, ha-zachar v'lo tumtum androgynous. You might think, okay, that's only not a zachar, so it should be a nekeva, right? Liyoch lo yeh berech ish v'yeh berech isha, Talmud lomar ha-zachar im nekeva v'lo tumtum androgynous. So this version just has one answer, because it's the whole bride, it's all one bride. Sami mikan tumtum. Fine. Now let's move on to another issue. Tashma. There's another place where the Torah, in talking about a Zevach Shlamim, says, Im Zachar, Im Nekeva, Tamim Yakrivena, Lefnei Hashem. Why does it have to say that? To tell me, Zachar Vadai, Nekeva Vadait, Velo, Tumtum Androgynous. Now, once again, I'm willing to accept Lo Androgynous. Because you're telling me an androgynous is different genitals. So it represents a third sex. Torah is not accepting Karbonis from that sex. But a tumtum, you can't have the pusik coming to tell me that something I don't know. If I don't know, then I'll decide how to deal with it. There's general rules how to decide how to deal with it. I mean, what would the Torah be telling me about a suffix? I know how to deal with the suffix. Sami mikan tumtum. Fine. Take out tumtum from here. Okay, tashma. How about binogea a korban oila? So there it says, im ola korbano min habakar zachar tamim akrivena. So as we had before, the first pasuk says zachar. Okay, the obvious meaning of a zachar is and not a female. V'lo nekeva. But if that's the case, why then does the pasuk in a few brief verses later, when it's talking about different types of olot, says imenatzon korbanot? So again, it has to say zachar tamim. You already said zachar. So what's the point of mentioning zachar again? Ma talmud lomar? That comes to tell me lo tzitum tuvah drogenes. Now over here also. So in other words, the tumtum, the teresah are coming to tell me, nope, that's not a zohar. What do you mean, no, that's not a zohar? Maybe it's a zohar. So that came up with the Torah telling me, nah, I'm telling you, don't worry if it's a zohar. They can't be telling me you're mesupik. If it's a zohar, I know I'm mesupik. So therefore, it would be against Reb Chista Tzak. Samimi kan tumtum, that's a mistake. Tell him Reb Chista. Okay, let's take a look at the list that we had of the dinim of a bird that went through a malika where it wasn't ru'uya for malika. Now remember that malika done with a fingernail is obviously, except for the very specific case where the Torah said to do this for the Mizbeach, where it was right for the Mizbeach, is basically, you're just killing the bird and it's in the veil. So anything that was, in fact, nifso from the Mizbeach would be a nevela. So then, if it wasn't roy to be mekabel kedusha, it's a ne'evad, it's a mukta, it's an etnan zona, it's a mechir kelev. All of these things are things that Torah says beferish cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. And, tumtum vandrogenes. So if that bird was a tumtum or androgynous, and the kohen went ahead and did malika, then that bird is an avela, and if it's eaten when it goes into the Beit HaBliyah, the person who eats it becomes tameh, and his begotten become tameh. So betameh begotten ma Beit HaBliyah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no. Tumtum v'androgynous should not be included in this list. They are not betameh begotten ma Beit HaBliyah, because Rabbi Eliezer used to say, kol makom sh'ne'amar zachar v'nekeva. Now remember, says Rabbi, you are jumping to conclusions. Because for all intents and purposes, birds don't have sex. They don't have it, and they're neither male nor female. Because the Torah never talks about male, it couldn't care less. So if there's no such thing as the gender, I hate using that word gender, it's this modern use of a grammar term for a formation of genitals, but people get used to using it. So a bird doesn't have a identification as male or female. It can't have an identification of a tumtum androgynous. It's irrelevant. And therefore, there's no pagam of tumtum androgynous. So only for a mammal, there you could say a tumtum androgynous is mutzi mi bineya. But an oaf, there's no mention of zachar v'nekeva. Therefore, there's no tumtum androgynous that can be excluded mi bineya. But what do you mean? But we never exclude tumtum mi bineya. What are we talking about? According to Rav Chista, a tumtum is just a suffix. Okay, fine. Tumtum, I'll have to say that also is just a mistake. If we're bringing in tumtum agav, what it really means is that the Torah is marked but not to bring in androgynous. Toshma, Rabbi Elazar Omer, an animal which is a trefa, a kilayim, a yotzi dofen, a tumtum, an androgynous, neither can be kodesh, and it can also not be magdish. What is that supposed to mean? Says Shmuel, what it's talking about over here is that if you start off with something that is pegamit from being kedushas haguf, even though if you had a kedusha on a completely kosher animal and you made it a tumura to a baal mum, that baal mum would become kodesh, even though when you attempted to be magdish the baal mum directly, where it was possible for the mizbeach, it would never get kedushas haguf. The Torah is machadish bein tov bein ra. That a tmura is chal even on a baal mum kavua. It still is not chal on these things. And the Gemara goes through over there. We're talking about a situation where these things are congenitally nifgam. They're not shaykh to kedusha at all. Now, when I say they're not magdish, what I mean, that in a case where they are kodesh, how could they themselves be kodesh? Where they were born to a kodesh animal. So over there, the Torah says, Vlodesh kachem are kodesh. Okay? So they, nonetheless, cannot make a tumura. Why in the world would a tumtum not be able to make a tumura? What does that mean? I mean, there's nothing wrong with the tumtum. You're saying you just don't know whether it's zachar or nekeva. This is clearly saying not like Rav Chisda. This is representing a tumtum as being something that's not shayach b'chol to kedushas hamizbeach, which could only mean that it's some kind of new gender. God says, Rav Chisda, look, this is also a mistake. Samei mikan tumtum. Okay, well, now I'm going to get you, Rav Chisda, okay? Because you keep telling me, okay, just ignore it. How about if I gave you a number? And that number, we have a numbered list. You see, if we don't have a numbered list, you can get away with murder. You can say, okay, so cut out that line. How about if we have a numbered list? Now you're going to cut out a line of a numbered list. When we say the number, the following list has X components. You can't cut out one of them. Well, I happen to found a case like this. Tashma, Rebbe Elazar, Omer, there's five things that are not Kodesh and not Magdish. And the following are they. Trefa, and Kilayim, and a Yotzei Dofen, born by Caesarean, and Tumtum von Drogenes. Now take your little fingers and count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you're going to try to tell me that over here also, just take out Tumtum, well then you're only going to have four. So how are you going to take out Tumtum? Havilu Arba. Ah, but I could substitute something else for the Tumtum, couldn't I? So what I say is, what it should say is, take out Tumtum and put in Yatom. Now the Yatom that it's referring to, it's a sort of funny thing, a poor orphaned animal. There is a concept of a Yatom, just like there's a concept of a Yotzei Dofen, which is a problem in birth. And you say, Yotzei Dofen, and the Torah says the whole business, Shimas Yom Tachas Yimai, Yotzei Dofen is b'chlam not considered to be a typical blood iskachi. Now, how about if the mother died at the instant of the birth? So that, even though it's not a Yotzei Dofen, but it's also considered to be not Kodesh because it doesn't come under the Tachas Imai. So therefore, if it was Meta Imo at the instant of birth, Gemara says, Zepar Shlachayim, Zepar Shlamita, instantaneously, that's also possible. And therefore, it's not Mekabo Kedusha. So maybe Enochinami, I could be Samimi Kantumtum. Now, shall we say,
was that?
Tumtum is a suffix. That's a Vada.
It wasn't on the list.
It is on the list. Somebody made a mistake. When they were saying androgynous, they threw in tumtums. They thought, okay, so I better stop here. And you include the yatom and the yotzei dofen, because it's the same pagam, essentially. It's not imay. And I'm telling you, no. What happened? That was a mistake. Take out tumtum and put in the yatom. Now, is it possible that Rav Chisda is not totally wrong? Okay, I mean, we've tried to prove that he's wrong. So, okay, he was able to get out of every single bright, every single mission. But is it possible that it's at least a machlokes tanai? That there's a sheet that I'm going to show you? There seems to be a sheet that definitely holds that there is a suffix, like he said, about tumtum. But there seems to be a sheet that says that there's a vadai din about a tumtum. Because, take a look at the following. Rabbi Eloi Omer Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Androgynous, b'chorhu umumo imo. So Rabbi Eloi says, look, according to Rabbi Yishmael, as we said, the androgynous is a zohar, but it has a built-in mum. And we discussed this yesterday. The Chachamim say, ein kedusha chala alav. There's no kedusha at all, and that's because it's a biryahi. But fine, no discussion over here about a tumtum, right? Androgynous. Androgynous is going to Rabbi Shmuel Bukharu Mumu Imo. The Chachamim say no, an androgynous is definitely not a Bukhar. There's no Kedusha. That was the Rabbanim that we saw in the Mishnah. We called them the Rabbanim Batroi. And they said, you know what? You can go out and you can do Gizava Avodah. It's pure Chulin. The Torah was Mamayan and androgynous, period. Nothing to talk about. Now remember, okay, so this is besides the Tanakhama that we had in the Mishnah, where we're talking about an androgynous being a suffix. So we have three shitot. The androgynous is a suffix. The androgynous is a vadai mum, no matter what it is. We were discussed yesterday whether Rabbi Shmuel is saying it's a vadai male or maybe it's a suffix. And we had the Chachamim, the Rabbanan Batroi, who said it's nothing when it comes to a Bechor because the Torah is Mamayat androgynous from Kedushas Bechor. Now, and here's the important new piece that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda quotes Rabbi Shimon as saying, Harehu Omer HaZachar, in the Din of Bechor, It says, Beferish, Kol HaBachor Asher Yivaled HaZachar Takdish LaHashem. So HaZachar, that is telling you, forget about Tumtum Vandrogenes. Kol Makom Shenemar Zachar, in that fashion, it's going out of its way to be Mamayat Tumtum Vandrogenes. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, what does this have to do with Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda already said a million times, wherever somebody says Tumtum Androgynous, it's just Androgynous, and Tumtum was thrown in Agav Urcha, right? So it should say Samimikan Tumtum. If you're going to say that over here, then it makes no sense, because then all Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda just did is repeat the Rabbanan Batrai. The Rabbanan Batrai said, Zachar is B'mayet Androgynous. I didn't say a word about Tumtum. Comes along Rabbi Shimon and says, no, you're wrong. Zachar is B'mayet Androgynous. That's what I just said. The only thing that you said differently is that Zachar is Mamaya Tumtum Androgynous. So how can you say that I didn't mean Tumtum? So then he was simply repeating over Haina Rabbanan. El Alav, the only way to understand it is that the difference between Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's Maimer, Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, was that he holds even a Tumtum is excluded from Zachar because it's a different gender. Not only androgynous, so he's expanding the idea of the Rabbanan Batrai, and indeed the Rabbanan Batrai themselves, that's true, I'll leave it to Rav Chisda, that's fine. But I mean, Rav Chisda shouldn't say nobody. It's not true that nobody holds that a tumtum is more than a suffix. I mean, we have this sheet of Rabbi Shimon that is saying a tumtum is no different than an androgynous. So like, he's partially right, but it's a machlokas tanoim. Elalaf tumtum ikabeinayim. That seems to be the whole difference between these two shitas. That the Tanakama holds ein kedusha chola olav androgynous. That's why the Tanakama, in this case the Rabbanan Batrai, they hold that, okay, if it's an androgynous, the Torah says there's no kedusha, go out and do gizav avodat, not even a balmum. But a tumtum? A tumtum, as Rav Chisda pointed out, is a regular suffix. And it's kodesh misveika, and it's not a mum. So what are you going to do? You'll have to be misupik all those years, whether it has kedush b'chor or not. You won't be able to do gizav avodah. Comes along Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda quotes Rabbi Shimon, lemeimar, no, even a tumtum is a birya, and it's not kodesh at all, and therefore we should at least say that Rav Chisda is backed by these other tanoim, but there are those who argue on Rav Chisda, and it isn't correct to say that nobody would hold that a tumtum is the same as an androgynous. Of course, we wouldn't want to say that Rav Chisda himself was wrong. All that we're saying is that when Rav Chisda says everybody holds that it's suffix, it doesn't mean everybody in the world. It means everyone that we just listed in the Mishnah, including the Rabbanan Batrai, they are only referring to androgynous, not to tumtum. That's what he was saying. But the truth is, there's others that may hold that the tumtum is really the same as the androgynous. So it wouldn't be a kash on Rav Chisda. Sometimes when we say, it's Bamish a kash. Says the Gemara, look, not necessarily does that have to be the only thing that is different between Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Remember, it looks like the Rabbanan, we're talking about an androgynous, is excluded by Zachar, but not a tumtum, and comes up from Shimon ben Yehuda to say tumtum v'androgynous are both excluded from Zachar. But the truth is, we're being a little bit oversimplistic, because there may be different types of tumtums where I can't see what it is. Now, obviously, it has a complete, we're gonna talk about later on. So what's confusing over here is that there's humans and animals, and they're not really the same. Because a human, you could say you get confused. In an animal, you shouldn't be able to get confused. Because there's a big difference between urinating out of what appears to be its rear end, basically, and urinating out of its front end.
For humans,
it's easy to get confused. But right. But let us later on, the Gemara is going to make a distinction between humans and animals. So therefore, we ought to be able to look and say, okay, where is this urine coming out from? If this urine is coming out from Mokum Zachrus, it's coming out from the front end, so then it's a Zachar. If it's coming out from the rear end, then it's in a cava. So if it's coming out from the front end, everybody agrees that it's male. The question over here is, if it's urinating like in a cave, it's matamai b'mokum makas. So what is the question? The question is, mar sovar chashinan shema nepcha zachruto nakvuto. The question over here is that there may have been some internal pressure that has forced its penis down towards the nakvus, and therefore it appears to be urinating from the back. And because of that, it could be still a suffix. Whereas Mar Sofer, that's already too far-fetched. And Lo Chayshinan, we don't have to worry about something like that. Ki hoda hera Rabbi Elazar, biveima matil mayim b'mokum nakvus chulin. And this is exactly the way that Rabbi Elazar paskin in a case that was brought. It's actually ki hoda hera Rabbi Eloi, that a tumtum, which was matil mayim b'mokum nakvut, is definitely chulin and there's nothing to worry about. And that is the machlokas here between Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon was being quoted by Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, and the Chachamim. Not as you thought, that one wants to include tumtum and one doesn't want to include tumtum. The fact is they're arguing about a type of tumtum. Is it a tumtum that is vadai a nekeva because of where it urinates, or is it a tumtum that is still a suffix, even though it appears to be urinating as a nekeva? So it does not necessarily mean that they're arguing about whether tumtum is a birya. That's not true. Rabbi Yochanan was shocked when he heard that psak of Rabbi Eloi. And he said, Taiba Rabbi Yochanan, I don't understand. What kind of chutzpah is it for somebody to give a psak alocha? Man delo chash l'tanakama or Rabbi Shmuel. I mean, how in the world would somebody like Rabbi Eloi ignore the Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah, who say that a tumtum cannot be nishchat, lo b'migdash v'lo b'medina? And even Rabbi Shmuel, he didn't argue on that. All Rabbi Shmuel said was, when it comes to an androgynous, and an androgynous is a mum. So that mumon of shach, why wouldn't it be a charitz? But when it comes to a tumtum, I mean, why in the world would he say that it's mamish chulin and you can go ahead and check it in the medina? How can he ignore the shita of the Mishnah? Now, apparently, Rabbi Yochanan does not agree with this entire analysis, right? So then, if he doesn't agree with this entire analysis that we just... He should have said also, who disagrees with everybody in the Mishnah? Because if you don't agree with our analysis right now, then that means that when the Rabbonin Batroi came along, and they said that, oh, the Torah was motzi, they're motzi androgynous from the whole parasha. So why didn't he include the Rabbonin Batroi in saying it's only androgynous? Because Amar Reb Chista, machlok is androgynous, but even the Rabbonin Batroi are agreeing that a tumtum is a sveika. So that means what Rabbi Yochanan should really have been shocked at, if he doesn't agree about this mokum nakvus jazz and so on, why didn't he just say, this is crazy? Rabbi Eloi is going against every single Mandi Amar in the Mishnah. That is because according to the way that Rabbi Yochanan seems to understand it, there is nobody who would have been matir a tumtum, that a tumtum should be a vadai nekeva. Rabbi Yochanan obviously doesn't hold of Rav Chista. So when Rabbi Yochanan agrees, he holds that the Rabbonin Batroi were going on tumtum also. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan was saying, how is it that you're paskening like against the Tanakama and against Rabbi Yishmael? I don't understand. Why not? Why can't you paskin like the Rabbonin Batroi? If Rabbi Yochanan holds, not like Rabbi Chista, then the Rabbonin Batroi are saying exactly what Rabbi Eloi said, right? Rabbonin Batroi are saying the Torah says Zohar. Zohar excludes both Tumtum and Androgynous. So therefore, as the Gemara Elo Svirale, well, then what's the problem? If Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold Rabbi Chista, all he needs to say to himself is, what, you're angry at somebody that paskins like the Rabbana? Lema hudi omak Rabbanan Batroi. Just say, Rabbi Loi has a right to paskin like the Rabbanan Batroi. No, that's what he was asking. He was saying, Hachanami ka'amar, he's saying, why would somebody go against both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yishmael to come along and to paskin only like the Rabbanan Batroi? That's what he was saying, because both the Tanakam and Rabbi Yishmael are agreeing that we certainly have a problem with the Tumtum of androgynous. It's just Rabbi Yishmael is saying that an androgynous is also a mum. That's all. But I agree that we're certainly in a matzav of suffik. Comes along the Rabbanan Batroi, according to him, to say that no, it's a birya b'fnei atzma. So you're going to ignore both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel? Why would you be shavik trev avit chad? And indeed, Rabbi Law, command svira. Who does he hold like? He holds like Reish Lakish. Now, Reish Lakish says that all of this discussion is only about a human. Lo omru tumtum is a suffix only in a human. Because a human, you can get confused as to where he's urinating from. So, look, it's easy in a tumtum for his penis to get pushed around enough that it looks like he's urinating like a female. But how the heck would that happen in an animal? So, if it's in an animal, look, it's very easy to tell. If the animal is matil mayim b'mokum zachrus, it's obviously got to be a zachar. If it's matil mayim b'mokum nakvut, it's obviously got to be a nekeva. Therefore, Taina's Rabbi Loi, there isn't anybody that would have held that this particular case that I was going ahead and Moira is bechalal, not a problem. There's nobody that would have held that it's a problem at all. That's all that I'm coming along to be Meira Halacha. I agree with every single Shita in the Mishnah, not only the Rabbanan Batroi. You think that the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama, and Rabbi Shmuel would have argued about a tumtum that's urinating like a female? Of course not. And therefore, it's Vadai, not a Bechor. That's what I'm saying. So in this case, you got no problem. Matkif Lervo Shaya. Why is it that we have no problem? Isn't it possible? Would we not also need to worry about the question of whether this malformation, look, there's some malformation here. I mean, this thick piece of skin that's covering over the genitals might have actually forced its male genitals at such a ridiculous angle that it's actually urinating like a female? Isn't that possible? Oh, my leg. I mean, what are the chances of such a thing? Is it 1 in 100? So you're asking a question, Rebbe Meir. That's a question. Your problem is we should be chayish lemiyuta. I mean, what kind of question is that? Come on, Rebbe Meir, the chayish lemiyuta. Why would somebody ask, why don't we chayish lemiyuta? I mean, all over we don't pass like Rebbe Meir. That we're chayish lemiyuta. Says Abaye Baravin, Rukananya Baravin. No. In a case where you have indications that something is wrong, you cannot apply statistics. Statistics are a norm. So you're telling me, in a normal case, the chances of something internally twisting the urethra in such a way that an animal would be a male but would urinate as a female, it's ridiculously small, vanishingly small. You're right. It certainly is. But how about where something is clearly a vanishingly small chance anyway? When was the last chance time you saw a tumura? A tumtum. So if that's the case, once there's some type of malfunction, so hov ishtene. According to the Rabbanan, if you're talking about some type of strange mutation, you have no idea of what type of substructures might be mutated along with it. So you can't say over there in that case that I'm not going to be chayish lemiyuta. The case is foisting upon you a miyuta. And therefore, once we say hayav ishtene, then maybe it's ishtene. That's what Rav Oshaya is asking. So afilo teme rabbonan hayav ishtene ishtene. What we'd have to say is that it da amri ishtene, the it da amri lo ishtene. And that gufa would be the question. There are some who say that it is ishtene, there is indeed a mandiyomer, as we're going to see, that once something is changed, and that's the Tanakhama that argues on Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. And they say that, look, you have to say hov ishtene ishtene. And then we have Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. And Rabbi Loi, is going according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, a little bit of Rabbi Shimon. And he's not going to, I don't have to worry about that. I can definitely make a determination, says Rabbi Loi, based on where it's urinating from. But enochinam, there are those who are chayish. Is it possible that ishtene velo ishtene is itself a machlokas tanoim? Because we have a very interesting case of a human tumtum. And he goes ahead and gives Kedushin, to a woman. So if he's Mekadesh, since he's a Suffolk, he may be a male, his Kedushin is a Suffolk Kedushin. If we're going to be Mater, his wife, she's going to need a get. How about if he accepts Kedushin? So if he was Nitkadesh, also, we have to worry that he's a female, and therefore he requires a get to be able to be married. And so we also have to worry about Kiddush of Kiddush. Question is, how about if he is the brother of a male, or if she is the brother of a male, and that male dies? What would be the case? Or vice versa. If he is married to a woman and has a brother who is a regular male, and he dies. So now we get at the questions of Yibum. Also, he would do, let's say, it would do Chalitza, and its wife, if it dies, would require Chalitza, because maybe it was a male and had a wife. And Mamanavshach, if it dies, then its wife could certainly get Yibum. Because if it's a male, so then its brother actually would be supposed to do Yibum. And if it's a female, it was never married to its wife. And therefore, its brother can get married to its wife. Because, so this is one bright. But the other bright says that the wife of a tumtum is not mityabemet. Is choletzet velo mityabemet. Now the question is, why in the world would it not be mityabemet? Because lechora, I mean, we assume right now. So if Ruah dekulei alma, at this point we just assumed that everybody agrees, because this is the way we paskei usually, that a seris chama lo cholet velo mityabemet. Definitely someone who is sterile, even if he's congenitally sterile, is not in the parsha of Yibum. Not in terms of Chalitza, not in terms of Yibum, and therefore he's not going to be a confusing element over here. So we would think that there should be no problem in the Yibum. So what must be the machlokas over here, my love? Mandi armor that says he can be, it can be Choletz, or we can be Choletz, its wife, and or we could be Miyabim, its wife. So he has no question, lo amrina, hoel, the ishtene ishtene, because he's saying, look, mamonavshach, if he's a zachar, so then what's the problem? There's no reason why we should also assume that he is sterile. In other words, remember, it's Rabbi Meir has a general concern where we don't know about sterility. That's where the whole Chayshina Lemiyuta question comes up, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. When you're dealing with a cotton, is a cotton sterile? Okay. In this case, we can't even examine his genitals. We have no idea whether he has normal genitals. Well, why would we assume he doesn't? All that we see is his genitals are covered. I mean, we may end up uncovering his genitals and discovering, my God, he's never reached puberty, he's sterile, he's 40 years old, and he's obviously still prepubescent. Why should we be hiring such a thing? So, therefore, there's no other issue at all for us to be worried about. And if that's the case, we should be able to treat him as a complete male. So therefore, choleitz chotzi leishto miyab mimineshishto, and everybody, everything would be fine.
May I ask? Yeah. If he's a tum, we assume he fight this member of Jesus Christ. This individual is still able to function sexually, despite the man
would be.
Should be able to do that.
If we, all we need to do is operate on, that's exactly what we're saying now. We're assuming that there's nothing wrong with his sexual function.
We just don't know what he, she is.
Correct.
But unless if nothing is done, we don't know what he, she is.
Right.
And he, she can function sexually.
Right, but we should be able to be Miyabim, his wife.
Okay.
And that's not a problem. Okay. But, what about if he is sterile? Now, he gave Kedusha, right? A sterile person could certainly create a marriage. But then if he dies and his brother goes and does Yibum to his wife, that brother is taking an erva. Because the din is that a sterile individual is not included in the chiyuv of Yibum at all. But it's a brother's wife. It's a brother's wife, shelo b'malka mitzvah, because a sterile individual, since the Torah says, is lahakiv shame, al-akim, and he himself He himself can't be making shame. There's no din of the brother taking his place. And if that's the case, we would have to be machmir not to be miyabim his wife. Now, if we're going to be machmir, we say, no, but you can't be miyabim his wife. Why is that? Because all of a sudden you're worried. Now, wait a minute. I mean, we've never seen his genitals. How do we know that he isn't a sardis? And therefore, forget about the tumtum problem. We have a suffix because of the fact that he's never been observed. We have no idea that he's actually a non-saurus, reproductively capable male. We know he's a male, but let's say we know he's a male, but even so, we've got a serious suffix about being the Abbe.
Because he was a tumtum?
Must be that's a machlokes. Do we say once something has gone wrong, anything could have gone wrong? That's exactly what we just raised as a problem. So do we say once something went wrong, anything could go wrong? Or do we say, why in the world should we think just because he's a tumtum that he's also a saris? So that means that we've now identified a machlokes tanoim about whether we still apply statistics, even though we're clearly dealing with an unusual situation. Take it out of the general statistic, dealing with Rove here. Yeah. So that must be the machlokas. So the mandiyam that says cholitz v'chotzil ishto be'abibet ishto, he doesn't have any problem of saying just because something is different, therefore this is now out of the standard of statistics. We don't say hov ishtin ishtin. But the mandiyam who says cholitz v'lo mityabemet says, now wait a minute. This is clearly an abnormal situation, and therefore hov the ishtene, then how do we know that he's not sterile too? Says Gemara, no. This, it's possible, but you cannot prove from here that there's a machlokas about whether we say hov the ishtene ish. It may well be that kuli amarin hov ishtene ishtene. Maybe everybody holds that we would say hov the ishtene ishtene. The only thing is that there is a machlokas about whether congenital sirisut is included in taking someone out of the parsha of Yibam. Because the whole ishtene ishtene over here is only going to be meaningful to us if we're saying that, oh my gosh, if he's a tumtum, who knows what's going on, right? Okay. So you tell me, what's going on? I don't know. Maybe he never reached puberty. So maybe he didn't. But as Rabbi Eliezer says, against now Rabbi Akiva, that in Alexandria, there are fertility experts that are able to actually cure this congenital problem, and they will bring this supposed saris to reproductive capability. He's treatable. The only time that the Torah says, and this is not like Rabbi Akiva, the only time that the Torah says that a saris is not included in the parsha of Yibam is where he has been manhandled, so that something now was traumatically affecting his reproductive organs. There they can't treat that. And that is indeed the only place where the Torah says that's called the Saris Adam. That's really manhandled, literally. But not a Saris Chama. We call it Saris Chama because it's natural, but very often the cause of infertility is the heat that's affecting the testicles. And because of that, he's actually not capable of having children. They actually treat today many infertility problems by putting a cooling unit on the testicles. Wow. Literally. What's that?
Yeah. The boxers are better.
Right. Yes, but where nothing helps, they actually have a water-cooled unit. Anyway, so the question over here could simply be, is the fact that he's a Saris Chama going to be a problem? Yeah, maybe he is a Saris. So I hold it even if so, since it's curable in Alexandria, times Rabbi Eliezer, that's not what the Torah is being mamayit. Whereas the Madiomro says, no, if that's the case, you can't be miyabim, that's going on libet Rabbi Akiva. So that would explain the whole thing. Let's see that inside. It says the Gemara, could be that kuli amrim rinan hov ishtene ishtene. And the machlokas over here is the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. That would be the entire story. Okay, so then let me just add up. What are we talking about over here, says the Gemara? Who would then be the Tana who would be saying Aliba to Rabbi Akiva. If you're saying that if you hold of Rabbi Akiva, the din would be choletzet v'lo mityabemet, because Rabbi Akiva would be agreeing that we'd have to worry about all v'ishtani ishtani. I just want to know who's the Amandi Omar. Because according, is it Rabbi Yehuda? I got news for you. Rabbi Yehuda holds that he is not a suffix, sorry. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a tumtum is definitely a soris. If he's a soris, he can't do chalitza either, not just yibum. You're telling me you're not going to be yabin, but you're going to do chalitza. Well, then it sure isn't going to leave Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says he's a vadai a soris mashvile. The Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda omer tumtum shenikra v'nimtza zachar, hare ze lo yachalotz v'pnei shehu kisoris. So it's got to be Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, a tumtum should not do chalitza, because what if he turns out to be a soris? Shema yikara v'yimatze siris chama. What do you mean? Oh, to call the yikara zachar mishtakeh. What do you mean? Because he may be a soris. Well, he may be a female. What do you mean? He shouldn't do chalitza because he may be a soris. He shouldn't do chalitza because he may be a female. What are you talking about? How can you rely on his chalitza? So, you're saying he's going to be torn open and found to be a zachar? Called him ikara zachar mishtaka? What? He's going to turn out to be a male for sure? He's not going to be a female? Nikeva lo mishtaka? No. What I'm saying is shema. In other words, first of all, shema yikara v'yimatze nekeva, and even if he would be found to be a zohar, maybe he'll also be a soris chama. So, I mean, but in practical terms, what's the difference? Everybody's agreed. Okay, so one says maybe, and one says definitely. Is there a difference between them? Maybe now, Amar, of course there's a difference. Suppose he would go ahead. Maybe there's other brothers, right? Other brothers that could. Now, if he goes in and does chalitza, the halacha is if one brother does chalitza, then he asers all of the brothers for being miyav. So if he would do chalitza, if he is vadai asaris, it's as if, somebody from the street did chalitza, you took off a shoe, who cares? So the other brother would go ahead and would do chalitza because he's not in the whole parsha. If you tell me it's only a suffix, okay, so then maybe he ruins it for everybody else. We'd have to be machmer, and somebody else would have to do chalitza, but nobody would be able to be meyabim in that case. And that would be one big difference. And the other difference would be if there are no brothers, it's the only brother. So if you hold, he's definitely a soris, and we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, So then the woman goes free. He's the only brother. His brother was a normal male, is married to this woman. This woman does not require chalitza. But if you hold Shema Yikara, the imat says, sorry, so then of course we'll have to be machmer. That'll be an afkamina if he's the only one that's there. So lachalot shelo b'mokom achim. Yes, that is definitely going to be an afkamina b'nei. And that is Ika b'nayhu. Hadran Allah el Elum. Mumin Elo, the ones that we said by the Bechor, are also Ben Kuin Ben Ovrim, going to pasul the Odom, who is the original Bechor, meaning that nowadays the Kohen, from doing the Avodah to be continued. The Chachomim Omer Meno Bechor. Omer of Chista, these Chachomim, they're only arguing about androgynous. But Tumtum Divrei HaKol Sveiku, the Kodesh Bisveiku. Omer Le Rava, what? So then why not Be'erech and Ye'erech? Aloma Tanya, Hazachar V'lo Tumtum V'androgynous, Yocholo Ye'erech Isha V'ye'erech Isha, Talmud Olba Hazachar Im Nekeva V'lo Tumtum V'androgynous. Obviously that's a mistake. Some may be Kantum. Toshma. Im Zachar Im Nekeva. This means a korban shlomim has to be a zohar vadin the cave of adoy, not a tumtum androgynous. That's a mistake. Sami mekan tumtum. Toshma zachar v'lo nekeva. Kishomer lamata zachar again. Why repeat it? Shein tamud loma. Must be lotzi tumtum androgynous to expand zachar. No, sami mekan tumtum. Okay. How about this? All of the birds, which were Nevad, Muksa, Esta, Mechir, Tumtum, Androgynous, that got a Malika, Kulam, Tmei, and Begonim, Abeta, Blia, whereas Rebbe Lezer Omer, not, to the Androgynous, is certainly not a pagam in the bird, and therefore it's not an avela. Imitam evgana beit abliya. The klal being, I Rebbe Eliezer Amar, koma kom shen nemar zachar v'nekeva, which is only by mammals. So over there, genitals are important. So atabatsi tum tum androgynous be name. But an oaf, hovelo nemar ba zachar v'nekeva. So then, in atamotzi tum tum androgynous be name. But anyway, but we're including tum tum, sami mikan tum. Tashma, Rabbi Lazar Amar, Hatrifav, Akilayim, Vayotzidofen, Hatuntum, Vandroganus, Lokadoshim, Lomagdishim, and Shmuel explained that Lokadoshim means Bitmura, even Bitmura that's called a Balmum, Velomagdishim, Lasotumura, no, Samimi Kantruba, Tumtum. Tashma, Rabbi Lazar Amar, Hamisha, Lokadoshim, Lomagdishim, Veelohen, Hatrifav, Akilayim, Vyotzidofen, Vetumtum, Vandroganus, what are you going to say now? Vechite machinami, samimi kantumtum. But now we have a list of five. You'll only have four. Oh, well, I'll take out tumtum and I'll put in yatom. Zepirish lechayim, zepirish lemis. Lemekatanoi. Rabbi Lai Omer Mishum Rabbi Shmal. Androgynous Bechoru umumo imo. And the Chachomim Omrim, and this is the Chachomim that the Rabban about Troy of the Mishnah. Ain't kedusha chalal of at all, and it only talks about androgynous here. Reb Shimon ben Yehudan and Mishum Reb Shimon, Harei Omer Zachar, Koma Kom Shem Zachar, is ain't all allowed to tumtum androgynous. So it includes tumtum. Now what are you going to say over here? You're going to say samimi kan tumtum. So then Reb Shimon ben Yehuda is saying the same thing as the Rabbana. The only explanation is that tumtum ikabeinaya. The Tanakama Sava ain't kedusha chalal of meaning. On an androgynous, but a tumtum is not what the pasuk was coming to say zachar about. A tumtum is a suffix. Either it is or it isn't. I mean, it's kodesh misveika. Comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Bishum Rabbi Shimon lameima. No, even a tumtum is considered to be like a third sex, and it's a bir yahu, and it's not kodesh at all. Not necessarily. It could be that we're talking about a different type of tumtum. Maybe everybody would agree. There's no suffix. Kuliyam a tumtum, but birya lo misafka. What's the question? It's only a suffix about a zochman and a keva. Now, since that's the case, let's look closely. Matil mayim b'mokom zachrus. Well, I mean, obviously it's got to be a zochman. The question over here is, if it's matil mayim b'mokom nakvus. Okay, so obviously if it's a zocher, it's got a little bit of movement that's available there. So mar sovach hashinan shema nebcha zachruto l'nakvuto. And by the way, you should know Rabbi Loi actually made this a point in a psak halacha that he gave, halacha l'maisa, where a behema was being matil mayim b'mokom nakvut. And he was meira halacha that it's complete chulin. There's no tzad of its being a male. Toiba Reb Yochanan. I don't understand how a guy's got the guts not to be chayish, not to the Tanakama, not to Reb Yishmo. What do you mean? And what about the Rabbanu Batroi? I thought, didn't Reb Chista say the Rabbanu Batroi? Om Reb Chista machlokes was only bandrogonis and tumtum. The Rabbanu Batroi were also made it to Suffolk. And Rabbi Lois coming along over here and making up his mind that that's the way it is. It's urinating from the wrong place. It can't be a zachar. What kind of business is that? Well, obviously, if Rabbi Yochanan is timing that we don't have to worry about the Rabbanu Batroi, he must be that he doesn't know the Reb Chista. Los really Reb Chista. No, he los really Reb Chista, so then what's his problem? Rabbi Loi is paskin got the Rabbanu Batroi. No, that's his kasha. Who has the guts to be shavik, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Shmuel, which means he's shavik trei, and he's ovid kechad? Where's Rabbi Loi? Rabbi Loi lamaisi kaman sfira, savra. Because there, it's so close that you can't really be sure that it hasn't been forced down that he looks like he's urinating like in a cave. But how the heck would a behema be matil mayim from mokum nakvuto? So it's matil mayim mokum zachrus, it's a zachar, mokum nakvus, it's an akeva. Matkivor voshai, I mean, couldn't it be like really weird? And shema nevcha zachruto l'nakvuto in this case? So why would we think such a thing? You're asking Rabbi Meir, who's Chai Shlom Yuta? Why would we Chai Shlom Yuta? Says Abaye Barav and Rav Chanin Rabbi, no. This would be true, a good question, even Alibid Rabbanan. Because since we're dealing with a crazy case, Afilo Temer Rabbanan, Hove Ishtene. So Iti Amri Ishtene, Viti Amri Lo Ishtene. So this is good for what we're saying. In other words, one man, the Omar says, even by the Behema, and that indeed is the Shita of the Tanakama, and that's the Machlokas between the Tanakama and Yehuda. Are we Chayish even in such a case or not? And Rabbi Lai is pasketing over here that like Rabbi Shimon. Very good. Now, is it possible that Ishtene velo Ishtene is a Machlokas Tanoi? The Tanya. Tomtom Shekidesh, Kiddush of Kiddush. Nit Kadesh, Kiddush of Kiddushin. The rule generally is like this. He does Chalitza, his wife gets Chalitza, and actually Mamonavshach, you could even be Miyabim, his wife, if you're its brother, because if it's a male, so then you have to do Yibum, and if it's a female, you could do Yibum, because he was never married. V'tanya Idach, Eshet Tumtum Choletzet, but for some weird reason, Lo Mityabemet. Now, what would that mean? So Savru de Kulo Yamak Rabbi Akiva Damer Tzvis Kama Lo Chalitz V'lo Miyabim, and therefore the question over here is, do we say that since he is some weirdo, so maybe he's a weirder weirdo, and we should also not apply the statistics about normal reproductive capabilities and assume that he's also a soris? So my labaka miflake, assuming that Savru de Kulo Yamak Rabbi Akiva, that if he is a soris, that he's out of the parsha of Yibam, so lo chalitz v'lo miyabim. So then the only machlokas that's left is my la baka biflake. Man diam recholitz v'chotzer liishto miyamin et ishto lo amrin and hov ishtene ishtene. Uman diam recholitz v'lo mityabemet amrin and hov ishtene ishtene. Lo. De kule am amrin and hov ishtene ishtene. And one is going a little bit of Eliezer who holds that a saris congenitally can be treated, and therefore he's included in the parsha. And Rabbi Akiva, okay, and the man Diomar who sang Alibi Rabbi Akiva is going according to who? According to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you should know Rabbi Yehuda holds that a tumtum is definitely a soris. The Tanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer tumtum, even if it turns out to be a male, he can't do chalitza because he is the same din as a soris. No, it's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Tan Rabbi Yossi says tumtum lo yachalot. Because maybe Yikarav Yimotze Saris Chama? What? Maybe Yikarav is in a keva. What are we getting into the question of whether he's a Saris? I mean, obviously, Shema, come on, Shema Yikareya, and he'll be in a keva, but even if he was a Zohar, we'll also have a problem. Shema Yimotze Saris Chama. Okay, so I mean, in practical terms, what's Nafka Mitchum and Bina Rabbi Yossi? I mean, basically, they're both saying that you don't do Chalitza. So my benayim, Amar Rava, first of all, what if he did do chalitza? So you'd have to worry about he's got a possible malkam achim. Secondly, what if he's the only brother? Should he do chalitza at least for chumra? If you hold these varai as soris, so then he doesn't even do chalitza shloba malkam achim. If it's a suffix, so then he should be chalit shloba malkam achim. That would be ikabe nayim.